We couldn't really be happier, and I already feel like we're good friends in the last few months. So I really appreciate you, Rich, and grateful to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning. Yeah, so hi, my name is Rich Milliken, and I feel like I'm coming to a family reunion. All of you know each other, and I'm married maybe into the family, and you're just kind of checking me out. Am I going to fit? Am I going to be okay? What can I add to this family or not? I recognize Carolyn and I feel a lot of excitement about stepping into this new stage of our life, of ministry life. But I have to say, we're nervous. There's a little bit of nervousness that we feel of getting to know you and trying to find out what God's been doing and what God might want to do in the days ahead. You may be feeling some of those same things. Excited that you have a new senior minister. Nervous. What's he going to be like? And what little weird quirks that he might have. So I will ask you that question. What weird quirks does Rich have? In about 6 months. My family has this thing when our kids are dating somebody and think they're pretty serious. Maybe they've been engaged, maybe they're not engaged, but we'll have our Thanksgiving meal or a meal around everybody around the table. And we will ask the new one to our family, okay, every family is different. What's weird about the Milliken family? Now, I'm not going to tell you what's weird about the Milliken family. You'll have to ask me or Carolyn later. Or you can ask Jameson Locke. I think his brother maybe has told him already some things that are weird about. Jameson is visiting today, but his brother married my daughter. And we asked him that question. He had three or four things right off the top of the hat that he knew we were weird. I just want to say I am different. I'm okay with that. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I'm committed to living my life emptied of myself so that God's power could be accomplished through my life. I believe God has called me to be a disciple that is living my life for Jesus in such a way that I could help other people become a disciple of Jesus, choose to follow Jesus, and that their life could also be transformed so that they could help other people find their way to Jesus. I believe that's what God wants me to do, and I'm going to try to live that out, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series. I'm going to go 8 weeks looking through the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. And we're going to do this specifically. We're going to take 8 weeks, look at different segments of Scripture here in Mark chapter 1, just to see how King Jesus started his ministry. So we're King's way. We're going to look at the King's way of beginning a ministry. 3 weeks are going to look at kind of the setup, sensing the setup of how Jesus was prepared for the ministry he was going to do. We're going to take about 3 weeks to look at Jesus and what things were his first priorities as he started his ministry, learn some of his habits, learn some of the things that he talked about, learn some of the relationships that he had. We'll take 3 weeks to look at what he actually did to start his ministry. And then we're going to look at 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of this series is going to look at kind of the big impact of what Jesus was anticipating doing that maybe would live after him. So we're going to begin this week by looking at verse 1. So since the theme today is Rich beginning his new chapter of ministry and King's Way starting a new chapter of ministry with Rich and Carolyn here in this leadership position, we're going to look at verse 1 because it talks about the beginning of something that God was doing. I'm just going to read verse 1, and I want to point out a couple of words in here. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Mark is writing this book. We believe it's the first gospel record, and Mark has done a history learning from both Peter and from Paul about the life of Jesus. And many people believe that Mark is taking Peter's recollections and Mark is writing them down for us to be able to hear. It's probably the very first gospel record of Jesus' life that was recorded. Much of the stuff that Mark talks about, Luke and Matthew also include in their gospels. But Mark is the first one to start this. And I want you to understand, as he's writing this down, the Holy Spirit is prompting him, what's the very first sentence he's going to use to tell this story about Jesus? That's going to take him 16 chapters to tell. How does he start it out? Well, he starts it out to say, God's beginning to do something new. I want you to look back at an Old Testament book, the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah predicts that something is going to happen, that God is beginning to do something new. I want to read verse 19 of chapter 43 of Isaiah. Here's a prophecy that God speaks through Isaiah the prophet about 800 years before Jesus is going to be born. And here's what Isaiah says, speaking from God's voice to the people of Israel. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And then Isaiah is going to go on and say some of the elements of what this new thing is going to be. So let me just start with this and apply it over the context of what Mark is going to say in chapter 1, verse 1, about Jesus, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The God who created us is always at work. I want you to say that with me. God is always at work. Would you say that? God is always at work. Now, sometimes you and I notice it. Many times we don't notice it. But God is always working. Jesus one time said in his ministry that his Father is always at work, and Jesus is always trying to watch where's the Father working so that he can do what the Father is doing. Now, I want to say this reality. Oftentimes when you and I don't perceive it, God, our Creator, is doing things that you and I can't really fully understand. Number one, maybe they're not according to the plan or the strategies that we've worked out. Or we're in a place in our life where we're just kind of oblivious. We're looking this direction and God's doing something over here. But I want you to notice something in Isaiah's prophecy. It's not that God will do, if you get your life right to the people of Israel, if you get your life right, I may do something new. He says, I am doing something new. Now, I don't know what your life is like or what you dream about for this church, but what if God has something new he wants to do through your life, in your life, and through this church? Is it possible that in 2019, Creator God is at work and is preparing us for a season where he wants to do something new? Now, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit, through Isaiah the prophet, says it's possible that God may be doing something new and you might not perceive it. Because he asked this question, do you perceive it? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it's springing forth. Do you not perceive it? Let me just ask you, because we're going to end today with a prayer. that God would start to fill our hearts with this kind of expectation of some of the new stuff he wants to do, that he would open our eyes to be able to see and be enlightened, that the God who does immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, the God who started this work of the gospel through the life of Jesus, the God who created you and brought you into relationship with Jesus, that God has something new he wants to do in your life. You haven't plateaued. You're not just waiting until he comes again and takes you to heaven. He has something he's still wanting to do. Do you not perceive it? And my question here might be, why is it so hard to perceive it? Sometimes it's because life has just kind of become ordinary. You've kind of just gotten into the rhythm of what goes on and what you can handle, and you've kind of just created an normal, ordinary, earthly life. And out of the numbness of that ordinary, it's hard to think that anything supernatural or anything spiritual or anything from God is actually going to happen in your life, because it's just surrounded by so much ordinary. In the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's awesome. But you know what the earth was like before the creation happened? It says it was chaotic. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Sometimes the reason you can't perceive God's work in you or around you is because you're personally currently experiencing chaos in your life. Troubles happening, could be financial, could be relational, could be medical, could be emotional, could be a variety of different things. And chaos is what's going on in your life, and you're longing for something to help, but you're not finding any help, and it's hard for you to even believe that God's maybe at work, even in this midst of this chaos. That may be another reason why we sometimes miss God at work. But I want to tell you, God is at work, and he's doing something new, and he's preparing, I believe, right now, for him to do something remarkable, something new through you and through this congregation as we look at what does he want to accomplish in Omaha, in our neighborhood around us. God wants to do something new. Now, let me suggest maybe a third reason why sometimes you might miss and not perceive God at work. And it can actually happen because you've been longing to see God do something for some time, and it's been a period of silence. As Mark writes his gospel in Mark chapter 1, before Jesus was born, there was a 400-year time when God didn't send a prophet. Before that time, God had been sending prophets to speak to the people. They were hearing the Holy Spirit give words to prophets, and prophets were speaking out on behalf of God to call people back to him. But for 400 years, there's silence. And it's just almost as if people are longing and waiting. When's God going to move? When's God going to move? When's he going to do something? And Mark is going to announce, it's beginning now in Jesus. But sometimes you might miss it because you've just been longing for so long that you keep waiting that someday off in the distance something's going to happen, but there's a new thing now that he wants to do. I'm going to ask you at the end of this service to pray, God, would you open my eyes so that I could see what you might want to do now. Looking back at Mark chapter 1, I want you to underline the word beginning in your Bible or write it on a piece of paper. And I want you to write that with circle it with just a simple prayer of faith. God, if there's something new that you want to start in my life, Would you begin that now? Because Mark is recording that God's beginning something. The second word I want you to underline is the word gospel. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This word gospel, it's a word we use a lot in church. If you're in church a lot, you hear it. We talk about it a lot, that we're a gospel-centered church, that I want to share the gospel with you. But sometimes we don't know what that word means. So the word that we're referring to, the word that now is called gospel, is really basically a word that means good news. It wasn't necessarily a Christian word. It wasn't a spiritual word. It was just when the king won a victory and the news, the messenger was coming back, he was bringing good news. He was bringing gospel, good news that the king had won victory and the enemy had been defeated. Good news could be delivered to the dad who's waiting outside the room that a baby has been born, and the good news is it's a boy or it's a girl. And that is gospel. It's good news that brings joy. Now, specific though, this gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's good news about Jesus Christ. Now, I know that sometimes the church isn't perceived that the news about Jesus is good. I don't know if you've come from maybe your story before you found Jesus, that maybe your story was that you thought that Jesus was maybe a lawgiver, or creating a bunch of rules and guidelines for your life that are going to be impossible for you to be able to follow. And that churches are full of people who have very strict rules about what life was supposed to be like. And when you heard about church, or when you heard about what church was like, or maybe you even went and experienced church, and church didn't seem like good news. It seemed oppressive, seems judgmental, it seemed divisive and critical. But I want you to know that sometimes what has been perceived as the gospel is not what Jesus intended or what Mark is actually announcing. God's doing a new thing, and it's good news. It's good news to the person who's weighed down with sin and doesn't feel like there's any hope for them to ever to get beyond that pattern of sin in their life. It's good news for the person who's in broken relationships, is trying to figure out, what do I need to become in order to be able to find wholeness in relationships. It's good news for the person struggling in their marriage, because Jesus gives hope for me to be able to be the kind of person God wants me to be. And he can actually change things that I can't. It's good news about Jesus Christ. It's good news because I'm in a broken relationship with my Father in heaven. My sin has separated me from him. And there's no way for me to ever be able to enter into his presence, because my sin has turned his face away from me. My sin has separated me from God. Now, that's the bad news. The second part of the bad news is that broken relationship is going to result in my death, eternal death, separation from the Father. It's not what God wanted. It's not what my soul longs for, but it's what I've chosen because of my sinful life. But in the middle of that bad news comes this incredibly good news. God sent his Son to come into the world to live life like us, and to encounter every temptation and every right or left path that tries to invite us into some our own way or somebody else's way and away from God's way. And Jesus came as God's Son, fully human, fully God, and he lived the human life based like you and I have to live it, but he chose never to step outside of God's path. Now, you might say, man, that's bad news. Because if he's the one who's perfect and I'm not, he's going to go to heaven. I'm not. But the good news is Jesus went to the cross, suffered a penalty that he didn't deserve. And the real human, historic Jesus, divine Son of God, fully human, endured everything up to the cross, and then the cross, as nails were put into his wrists and into his feet. And the good news is his death and his blood atones for my sin. And the best news is in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The good news is about Jesus Christ. And Mark is introducing something that he says has the potential to radically change, to allow us to line ourselves up into what Jesus is wanting to do in this generation. So let me look at this passage of Scripture, and let's consider some implications that it has for us. If you're taking notes, the first implication is that the new stuff, the new work that God wants to do often happens in the very ordinary. It's surrounded by the very ordinary. Ordinary people, ordinary situations in life, normal life situations. It looks like everything is just typical of what you think of a human life. It's very, very ordinary. I mean, everybody else is going through the same type of things, situations in their life. But God's about ready to do something new. And it's going to surprise you because it's surrounded by the ordinary. But it's a prelude to something extraordinary. What God's about to do is to demonstrate that his power and his kingdom and his will is going to intersect with human life. And he's going to rescue people with the power of the gospel. I want to read a passage of scripture that highlights those two things. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Listen to this. He, speaking of Jesus, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Start with verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So here's Jesus coming in. God's about ready to do something, and it's in the middle of all the ordinary. Verse 12 and 13. This is the prelude to the extraordinary. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Here's this something extraordinary. Is God is in this move. He's making a way in the wilderness, as Isaiah said. In the place where it seems like nothing could happen, he's going to make rivers flow. He's going to create a highway in the middle of the wilderness so people can find their way into a relationship with God. Though our sin has separated us, Isaiah said this as well, our sin can be washed as white as snow. Though our sins be red like crimson, they'll be white as wool. God is about ready to do something. And when he starts to do it, it's going to be extraordinary. So let me just make this statement. I'm convinced there's some things that are going to happen in the next few months, weeks, and years for Kingsway. They're going to be evidence of God at work. It's going to be extraordinary things. Life change, impact that you're able to have on people in your neighborhood or people in your workplace, your love for somebody's going to catch somebody at just the right time when they need to find, is there a way for me to be able to find hope and life? And I'm convinced that it's not going to be because I'm your minister. It's not because you're such great church people. It's going to be because we have aligned ourselves with God's mission and purpose. And I want you to start imagining, what are the extraordinary things that God might do? And it'll be clear to you and everybody else. And when people say, wow, isn't that amazing what's happening at Kingsway? You'd say, yeah, I don't know what's going on, because the rest of us, we're all broken, but God seems to be doing something here. I want to tell you a story of something that God did. Because God's about ready to do something. Even now, it's springing forth. Don't you perceive it? He takes the ordinary and does something extraordinary. And he'll do that in your life if you surrender. Here's the third implication. When God does his extraordinary, it is always centered around Jesus Christ and the good news about Jesus. It will not be centered around Rich Milliken, not be centered around our elders, not be centered around our... God will use people, but what you're going to see is going to be this message of Jesus Christ transforming people. When God does something, he's going to do it through Jesus. That's why Mark announces the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And your goal as a church, and my goal as a church leader, is to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one that God uses to do this extraordinary work in people's life. Now, the last implication is that this introduction that Mark gives and this promise that God is at work about ready to do something new, it's available to anybody, even if your life has been broken or disrupted. Mark's gospel is really remarkable that he even gets a chance to write it. In Acts chapter 15, I want to read a passage of scripture that tells about Mark. Mark had been a follower of Jesus for a long time. His mom must have been fairly wealthy. The church would meet in her house for prayer at times. And on the very first missionary journey that Paul and his friend Barnabas would take, they took John Mark. But midway through the journey, John Mark decided to go back home. We don't know why. Don't know if he's homesick. Don't know if there's something that's going on for his mom that he needed to help with. Don't know if he got tired of the work. We don't know what the problem was, but John Mark quit halfway through the missionary journey. And so I want you to listen as Paul and Barnabas talk about John Mark. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 15. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return to visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, also called Mark. That's the one who wrote this gospel. But Paul thought it best not to take him with them, the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to complete the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went to the churches in Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, what's interesting to me is John Mark gets a reputation of never completing the task. And yet now he takes the opportunity to pen this letter that introduces you and I to Jesus. Here's the reality. Because of the gospel, Jesus takes broken lives and restores them with new life. Here's the fourth implication. This new gospel thing that God's going to do is going to be demonstrated in new life that starts to happen in people. New beginnings that God does in their life. And I'd like for the things that we celebrate most is not attendance at church, not even offerings at church. I'd like us to celebrate every time we see that new life start to happen in Jesus Christ. I'd like you to be able to say that every week or every month we're celebrating people who are making this new decision to surrender their life to Jesus and to be baptized into him and to begin walking as his disciple. I'd like you to be able to say that there'd be in these pews, filling these pews, people who have had difficult, horrible stories written in their life, that they had almost given up hope, but Jesus Christ came in, the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ came in and transformed their lives, and they're sitting here serving, they're teaching Sunday school, they're sharing with their neighbors, they're serving people in need throughout this city because their life's been transformed by Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to celebrate. Because this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's going to do something amazing here. So what? So what? Every time the Word of God is opened, I think we come to a point in the service where you have to make a decision. So what? Some of us have gone to church for years and years, and we left without ever identifying that, so what? What's this mean to me? So today I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask that the implication might be that ringing out from the hearts of the people here at this church as we look outside these windows to neighborhoods around us, ringing out in our heart would be this prayer: God, please do something new in our church so the gospel of Jesus Christ could bring new life to people around us. And all of a sudden, extraordinary would brighten up the lives of people who've been stuck in the ordinary. And supernatural stuff starts to happen for those who have gotten dulled by all the natural, boring, disorienting life that they've been in. So my question is, would you pray that prayer with me? And I would encourage you to memorize this week. Each week in this series, I'm going to have a verse of scripture I'd like you to write down and memorize, if you would. And this verse is from Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And it's where Jesus promises that on the confession of Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to ask Jesus to do that here in Omaha at Kingsway. And that if my first Sunday here does anything, it will stir this anticipation that God is going to do something extraordinary as he does a new work here through his people, ordinary people at Kingsway, demonstrating the extraordinary good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can experience new life through him. Would you pray with me? I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come up here right now as we prepare. We're going to sing a song just after the prayer. And my request to you during this as we prepare to pray, my request is that you would each day this month, you would invite Jesus to do something new in your life and open your eyes so that you could be able to see it. Because I'd love, as I get the chance to meet you, I'd love to be able to find out and hear what you think, maybe some new things that God could possibly do, some of the extraordinary fingerprints he could put on our congregation and on the community around us through this congregation. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are thankful for the chance to be able to be here and to celebrate what you've started in Jesus. And I'm captivated by the thought that Mark got to announce that the beginning was happening, that the gospel of Jesus was going to transform and bring something new that would affect the world in such a dramatic way that the world could never be the same, that a way of salvation has been provided to take us out of an ordinary human life and to help us to see that the Creator has a life that he's invited us to through Jesus. So God, I'm just asking, I don't know what you want to do. I believe you still do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I still believe you're doing great things that are transforming people's lives. And I pray that you would do a new thing here, centered on the gospel of Jesus, demonstrating the extraordinary effect you have to transform lives. And I pray, God, that you would do your new thing on marriages, on people's personal lives, on commitments to live for Jesus each day of the week, on boldness to be able to speak about Jesus and the difference you've made in our lives and to share that with other people. Father, would you do something new that it would be clear to everybody outside that God's doing something extraordinary. And Father, as you write that story, we just surrender ourselves today to say, do it in me. Open my eyes. Start something new. And use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.